It's time for Fresh Oil with singer-songwriter and pastor Keith Manley, a program designed to minister the gospel of God's grace and to bring fresh oil to the brokenhearted. And now, with today's program, Pastor Keith Manley.
Hello, my friend. Welcome to Fresh Oil. I'm your host, Keith Manley, and we're teaching a verse-by-verse study right now on the book of Ephesians. I love the book of Ephesians, one of the greatest doctrinal books in all the New Testament. And yesterday we covered the last part of chapter 4. Paul was telling us to live as children of the light. He taught us to put off the old self and that's being corrupted and to be made new in the attitude of our minds. And that is what we call soul salvation. Our spirit is saved at the moment we receive Christ as our personal Savior. But the mind is another story. It's a daily process, putting off the old and putting in the new, renewing our mind in Christ. And Paul said you got to put off that former way of life. It's being corrupted by the evil desires and be made new in the attitude of your minds. And he told us to put off falsehood, speak truthfully. And I love what he said. He said in verse 26, he said, "In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold." That's so important because so many times we get angry, whether it's at our spouse, our children, a friend, whoever it is, and we let the sun go down on our wrath, and it tends to build bitterness in our life. Unforgiveness and bitterness will dry up the bones. It can make you physically sick, and it can certainly tarnish a relationship. And today we come to chapter 5, a great chapter here in the book of Ephesians. And chapter 5 begins with what sounds like an impossible task. Paul says this. He says, "Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." One translation calls it a sweet aroma. Now, it's interesting. Usually my therefores come at the very beginning of the verse. Paul actually made a statement and then put in the therefore. He says, "Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children." It's so interesting that when Paul's telling us to imitate God, what does he focus on? Love. Because the Bible teaches us God is love. So he says, live a life of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. Which brings to mind that great verse of John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him won't perish but have everlasting life." Friend, the greatest way you can imitate God is to love others. Paul tells us here, live a life of love. A life of love does not go unnoticed. People that work around you, people in your family, people that live in your neighborhood, they're going to notice a life of love. So that's why he tells us, be imitators of God and live this life of love. When most people hear the phrase, be imitators of God, they immediately think of doing a miracle or performing a wonder. But friend, notice when Paul says we are to imitate God, he brings it back to love. Jesus said in John chapter 13, verse 35, he said, "By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." Did you know, friend, that the word Christian means Christ-like? Actually, when people call us a Christian, it should be a compliment saying, "You emulate Jesus." What Paul tells us here is actually a call to action. He's telling us, don't just think about God, don't just talk about God, but be like God. Love. In the previous chapter, chapter 4, that's the chapter where Paul taught about the fivefold ministry. He said God gave us pastors, apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, to prepare God's people for works of ministry. See, most people think of pastors and teachers and all these ministry gift people. They think of them as the people that do the ministry. But friend, actually, they prepare God's people to do the ministry. We are all ministers. I'm a pastor, but we're all ministers. We're all called to share the gospel with people that God brings across our path. And when he spoke about the fivefold ministry, he went on in verse 13 and he said, they're going to prepare them for works of ministry. He said, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So that's what it's about. God wants us to mature, to grow up in Him, to be more Christ-like, to imitate God. What a heavy topic today. If we were to rate ourselves today on how good we're doing imitating God, what would our number be? How high would we be up on the scale today? I think we all have a long way to go on that one. See, Paul began this phrase by using that word therefore, which meant he was tying what he said here in chapter 5 to what he said in the previous chapter. And the last verse that he said in chapter 4 said, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ, God forgave you. You know, one of the greatest miracles I've seen in 40 years of ministry, it's really been forgiveness. When I watch two people who've been separated by some stupid event that tore them apart or something someone said or unfaithfulness or whatever it was in their life, and two people sat in front of me, and I watch God mend their lives back together through forgiveness. What an amazing miracle that is. And God's telling us here one of the great ways that you can be like God is to forgive one another, just as in Christ, God forgave you. So our real example here, it's God. He's given us the example. And Jesus, who lived a total life of love and forgiveness. When he said, be imitators of God, he went on and said, therefore, as dearly loved children. Children naturally want to imitate their parents. They see their parents do something and they try to imitate them. Now in Ephesians 5 verse 3, Paul begins to tell us what imitating God really means. He says, but among you there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because those are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. Paul gives us a list here of things that are improper conduct for children of God. Sexual impurity, foolish talk, and just things that are not pleasing to God. Things that would tarnish our reputation or make people think that person can't be a Christian because look what they just did. After listing his list of improper conduct, Paul just says, but rather thanksgiving. See, thanksgiving for the child of God should not just be an annual holiday that comes in November, but it should be a lifestyle, something that's lived out on a daily basis where we live a life of thanksgiving. And then Paul makes a very strong statement in verse 5. He says, for of this you can be sure. No immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Now, you can read this and it can shock you. You can think, wow, I don't know if I'm going to heaven, Keith, because I've been greedy before, or I've had immoral conduct before. Paul's not talking here about what you've done. He's talking about who you are. You are no longer that person. If you've received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you've now become light. You've become a child of God. And He has cast our sins as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered against you anymore. See, he goes on and he says in verse 6, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. Now, friend, this is a strong statement, but I believe God is telling us here we can't be unequally yoked. And that's not just talking about marriage. That's talking about close friendships. See, if you are close friends with somebody who's constantly involved in immoral behavior or coarse joking and all this obscenity and foolish talk, it'll rub off on you. Paul's telling us here, do not be partners with them. Now, I believe it's very important that we choose our close friendships very carefully. I'm not telling you to be mean or nasty to people because their lifestyle has not yet come in line with the Word of God, but you just can't be partners with them, friend. You can't be close friends with someone who's walking in darkness. And then Paul brings it home by saying in verse 8, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So live as children of light. For fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord." I love how he throws that in. Find out what pleases the Lord. How do we do that? By reading God's Word. It's interesting to me that verse 8 began with saying, "For you were once darkness." Not you were once in darkness. You were once darkness. And then he goes on and says, "But now you are light in the Lord." See, this is why I'm saying he's not talking about what you do. He's talking about what you are. When you become a child of God, you are created a new creation in Christ Jesus. That's what's so amazing, friend. He transforms us from the kingdom of darkness and he makes us light. When Jesus was in the world, he said, "I am the light of the world," as he came into Jerusalem that day. But you know what, friend? Now he says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden." And there in verse 9, he said the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Reminds me of Galatians 5 when Paul will list for the church in Galatia the fruit of the Spirit. He said this, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law." See, once we become a Christian, we bear fruit. You don't see an apple tree sitting out in the yard going, oh, I gotta produce apples. No, it just comes because of who it is. It's an apple tree. And because of that, what it is, it produces apples. And that is the thing with Christians. We should naturally produce fruit because of what we are. We're light. We're children. We're imitators of God. Now, Paul didn't tell us here we are to avoid the world. He just said you cannot be partners with them. You can't be close friends with somebody who's constantly living in this immoral behavior. But friend, we can't totally ignore the world. We are called to be ambassadors for Christ. We are called to be the ones who reach this world with the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now let's wind up here today, and Paul says in verse 11, "Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible." Now remember, he said we are now light. We were darkness, but we're now light. And that light should make everything visible. So sometimes in the relationships that we do have, you're going to see something in a brother or a sister that you're close with, and that light is going to expose it, and you can confront them in love and just say, "Hey, that's not the behavior that God wants us to have." See, he says, "Everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said," now he's going to quote the scripture again, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Wow, we're in a great verse-by-verse study on the book of Ephesians. I love teaching the Bible verse-by-verse, friend. You get the full context of what God is saying. And tomorrow now, we're going to pick up with verse 15 and continue our verse-by-verse study on Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Thank you so much for joining me today, friend, here on Fresh Oil. I so enjoy sharing with you each and every day from God's Word. And always remember, God loves you with an everlasting love.
Thanks for joining us today for Fresh Oil with Pastor Keith Manley. Fresh Oil is an outreach of Grace Family Church in Rockford, Illinois, and can be heard each weekday at this same time. You can reach us online at weneedgod.com. Until next time, remember, God's love for you is unconditional, and He he makes his mercies new every morning.